Good morning, y'all. It's your girl B. Thank you for joining me for yet another episode of She Who Seeks to Inspire. Again, I thank you, friends, for following me on this journey. Do excuse me this morning if I sound a little congested. My sinuses are giving me a little bit of a flux this morning, and then I was just full with the spirit. So it's been that type of celebration of a morning for me already. I'm hoping that each and every one of you that is hearing this is having a great day already where you are. Just to recap, last week we talked about speaking over yourself, believing it, manifesting it, walking in it, walking as if you're already in it. That gave me even power. I've gone back and listened a few times because just like everybody else, I have days where I just don't feel like doing it. I don't feel like I'm ever going to get to the victory line. And that's probably normal for us all. We have good days and bad days, right? So right now, I'm honest to say it took me a few days to record because on October 30th of last year, I lost my daughter, Brianna Aubrey. She was born, stillborn. And I don't want to say that I spent the weekend just existing, but I truly had not dealt with the emotions that I needed to deal with even in that department of my life. And I am quick to always say you have to feel it to heal from it. And so I want to say that I finally allowed myself to feel. And I no longer was just existing and walking in it and ignoring the pain from it. So I dealt with it. And I also saw that it was normal to have my sorrow. But I thanked God for the victory and the story that I'm still here. And I had that opportunity to say that I survived it. And although it may have been painful, it has made me a very much very stronger woman. Because I know that God, here we go, yes, Lord, I know that God makes no mistakes, none, in whatever he does. I know he makes no mistakes. I'm sorry, y'all. But I want to remind you this morning that sometimes you can just be in the waiting room. And by that, I mean, sometimes you have a plan, you know where you're going, everything's working out perfect for you. And you're like, oh God, it's falling in place so perfectly. And I know that this is going to be right. I know it's going to be it. This is it. This is the big thing. This is purpose. This is what I've been waiting to be activated in. I'm here, God, and I thank you. And then everything stops and it slows down. And I call that place the waiting room. That is where we are asking for things. We are manifesting things. We are even working diligently to get there. But it seems like we're going nowhere fast. Here's what I want to remind you. We can't just not take a self-evaluation and look at ourselves and the people around us because they contribute to us. Because whether we want to admit it or not, friends are the family we pick for ourselves. And once we've picked them, they can be an asset to us, or they can also be a hindrance and a distraction to us, and vice versa. We can throw someone else off track as well. So while I'm here at this place of waiting in the waiting room, I felt like I heard God telling me, I know that I heard God telling me, that it was time to evaluate my physical positions in my relationships. Friendships, sisterships, mother-daughtership, just all my ships. You understand? And I was saying, well, why do I have to be in the waiting room? And he was saying, look at this. Is it building or is it not? Now, one thing that I have always been guilty of is I turn an assignment in my life to a permanent situation in my life. And by that, I mean sometimes I don't care who you are, and everybody has their own personal beliefs to this, but this is how I am. People have this false hope that you have to be perfect for God to use you. Let me explain something to you. God will use you in your mess. You won't even be wanting to be used, and God will be using you in your mess. And by that, I'm saying it could be the person walking down the street next to you that said something. And maybe you see that person every day, but that one day they said something and you knew it was meant exactly for you. You knew that God spoke through them to you because he knew that that would get your attention. He knew that if he sent it any other way, you would ignore it. But that moment, he got your attention. So for me, I like to say that sometimes I have a gift that God has given me that allows me to have very strong discernment. I'm an empath. I can really feel emotions in people. And sometimes when God sends a word in me, I want to put be strategic in my words. People mistake me for the God, not understanding that I'm the messenger. That part. And in that I mean, yes, he gave me something to confirm to you. But at the same time, I'm not God. I'm not perfect. I'll never be perfect. And I do not have all the answers. Please understand me at this point in my life. Every answer, every move I make, it is because God gave me the directive to do it. And as I said before, I came from the church of Stephan Henderson, where the directive says, if given a directive, you do not have to think. And everything in the Bible gives a directive and it tells you exactly what to do in every scenario. So if you aren't reading your armor, then it's your fault that you don't have the answers. But we sometimes cling to people feeling like, oh, this person is so close in God. I want them to pray for me. The same prayer that person said for you, you can say for yourself with the same power if you own it and mean it in your heart. So in this waiting room, God has continued to say to me, we got to shift. We have to move. We have to have healthy ships. You got to stop holding on to the things I've already confirmed you must let go of. And that was the struggle for me. Everybody has their own vice. Everybody has their own struggle. So imagine this. I'm dealing with heartache. I'm dealing with grief. And now God is dealing with me about my friendships, my ships, not just friendships, relationships, friendships, sisterships, my family ships. He's dealing with me about my ships. And how I think I'm the fixer when the assignment has already been completed. And that's why I'm no longer eating from this ship. This ship is no longer pouring into me. It's a one-sided thing. I'm pouring out everything and I'm getting nothing back. But it's my fault because I exhausted the assignment. And I didn't know how to let go. Being an empath cannot be easy at times for me because, well, it isn't easy for me, but for any person, it can just not be easy. But it's something that's hard because you want to fix it. You want to make it better. Every phone call that comes through, you're praying diligently that you can shift it, that you can change it, make that person feel better. But God said I was done being the fixer. And not only did he confirm that to me, but, you know, God has a sense of humor with you. So I was studying and the word said, for you, being so wise, gladly put up with fools. In fact, you put up with it if someone enslaves you, if someone exploits you, if someone takes advantage of you, if someone is arrogant toward you, if someone slaps you in the face. Now, in that scripture, Paul is being sarcastic and bragging in the flesh as people do. But it hit me so hard because what we fail to realize is forgiving to a certain extent can have toxicity in it when you keep allowing. It's okay to forgive, but please don't repeat the same habits. That's insanity. And so with that, I felt like, wow, God just humbled me hard because here I am thinking I had it all together. Here I am thinking, this is it. I'm on it. I'm tapped in. I have the answers. I know where I'm going. I know success is in my future. I'm there. I'm right here. And he said, you're the biggest fool as you think you got all the answers. That's all this is. But it was a reminder to me. And even though Paul said it, it hit home so hard because often we allow disrespect. We allow being mistreated. We look over when people are doing things to us maliciously and say they don't know better when they really do. And for me, hitting home is in friendships and sisterships even. I'm in a place in my life now where I want everybody to win. I want to pray with you. I want to build you. I want to, hey, let's sit down and talk about dreams. Let's bounce goals and ideas off each other. Let's not tear each other down. I am at a point in my life right now where I feel like Do we ever get too old for drama and mess? Do we ever get too old to be a real friend? You know, the one that tells you about yourself, corrects you in your love. Love. Love is correction. That means, hey, sis, we good and I love you. But right now I feel like you're not acting like the woman God called you to be. You got to stop worrying about the naysayers and who's looking at you and the drama behind the scenes. And don't get involved in that. How dare you take an opinion off a person you don't even know? You have not sat down with that person, but you got a vendetta because so-and-so and Joe Blow down the street told you they did and said not. All of that is foolishness in any relationship. It proves insecurity. It proves that we're competing instead of building with one another. And let me explain something to you. I can't speak for you, but I will not tear down another to build myself up. And I will not dislike anybody that made a mistake. And I say that because oftentimes I've heard somebody literally say to me, "You're talking to so-and-so, you know they're a liar." Well, let me explain something to you. Let he who is without sin cast the first stone. Old scripture, right? I'm pretty sure you know it. I bet we've all told a lie somewhere. So instead of correcting your brother, your sister, your friend, you say, you talk about them. But let's stop talking about folk behind their back. Because if you talking about them, you are part of the problem. You are not fixing anything. You are not correcting them in love. It's a way to correct somebody in love and not chastise them, but let them know you being toxic to yourself. Toxicity is poison. Made unbearable, no longer ingestible. You don't want poison in your life. So let's just be 100 here. I'm going there. I don't know why people are so afraid to expose the people that cause the drama. Because it's time to sit down at the table and say, "Hey, sis, it's some insecurities in this room. It's some issues in this room. It's some unspoken words in this room. And we need to talk about it. We need to get to the root of it, because when we come out of this thing, even if we're not friends anymore, we both will be stronger because we have been honest with one another about the work that needs to be done in each other. Because sometimes you can't see yourself. Sometimes you can't see when you're being toxic. You just can't. It's human. It happens to us all. So while I'm in that waiting place, God is like, work on your ships. Because the people... Let me make it plain for you. The people you thought were loving you were enslaving you. The people you claim are loving you are exploiting you. The people you thought needed you and you needed them, they're taking advantage of you. And let's just be honest. When you call with your problem, they were being arrogant with you. That's what that scripture is saying. And you saw it. And you felt it. But you chose not to deal with it. So you are part of the problem. I don't want to be a part of the problem. So even on this journey of healing and doing the work, because the work ain't easy to see yourself, but doing the work, I'm able to see I'm guilty of this. That's me. That's all me and my imperfections. And even though Paul is being sarcastic, he got my attention. He made me think about the people I sit at the table with. And if I'm sitting at the right table, don't mean they won't still be friends, sisters, and relatives, and we won't still have a relationship. But at this season, I got to be sitting at the right table. Because I got to be being fed the right way. I can't keep feeding and then I starve. That I learned. So God got my attention with that scripture. And if we move on a little further in humility, I'm on TikTok, I'm on the radio, I'm listening to Donda. And this one statement just keeps standing out to me. And it says, even if you are not ready for the night, it cannot always be day. Now, I'm sure all of you have heard that on Kanye West's CD Donda in the song Praise God. I had heard it too. But here's a little history behind that. That particular excerpt or that statement, most people don't know that the line is actually something that Kanye West's mother read and delivered in a speech at the 17th annual Gwendolyn Brooks Writers Conference. Because that comes from a poem with Gwendolyn Brooks where she's really trying to let you know or enlighten you that it's going, life is still going to go on. You just got to deal with what's facing you and move forward. It said the line is meant that even though one day the line says that even though it's meant that one may be worried about the trials and tribulations that tomorrow may hold, or may be regretting the mistakes that they've made in the past, life will go on anyway, and the sun will always rise and set. That hit me so hard because in my life right now, that one statement, even if you are not ready for the night, it cannot always be day. That applies to so much in my life right now. It's a powerful statement. It may apply to so much in your life too. You see, even though I've spoken out of my mouth, God, I want purpose. I want to do this. I want to do the desires of my heart. I want to preach. I want to teach. I want to be in a place where you're moving me and growing me and using me. I see, I said that out of my mouth. And once I said it and came out my mouth and it was in the atmosphere, the work began. So even with it being in the atmosphere and the work beginning, now God is saying, you asked for it. And so while you going through the process and you complaining and crying about it, you asked for it. And even though you thought you were ready, you see you're not ready. But we got to move forward because we are already here. We are already here. So understand, maybe you're not ready to break ties with some of the things and people in your life that need to move. Maybe you're not ready to look at yourself and understand where you're hurting and harming yourself, or where you're distracting yourself or in your own way. Maybe you're not ready for any of those things either. Maybe you're just not ready to do what God's called you to do or created you to do. Maybe you know exactly what you're supposed to do, but fear is stopping you from moving forward. I want to remind you today that while you feel like you're fighting to make it, the fight is already fixed. God wrote the plan for you when he created you, and now he's going to implement it in you. And that's a fact. You got to know the power of positive shifts in your life. And by that, I mean every relationship, your friendships, your family, each and every one of them should be helping you to grow into an even better person that you love and care for yourself to an extreme in which you never have before. That's friendships. That's good ships, relationships. Those are good ships. If a person isn't helping you to respect yourself and them as well, if you can't trust in each other, if there's no compromise, if you can't accept your differences. One of the greatest things about me, and people always say I have such diverse friends, is I accept you for you. I'm not asking God to make you who you're not. I just love who you are and who you show me that you are. And as you grow, I love you even more, no matter who you are. Do you have ships around you like that? Friendships, relationships, family, where they accept who you are, whether they agree or not, but love you for you. Is that what's going on around you? Or are you fighting to make them love you? You can't make nobody love you. So you have to ask yourself, is this a good ship for me? Is it evenly yoked? When I pour into them, do they pour back into me? Do I feel comfortable and safe with them? Do they feel that with me? Are we considerate and forgiving of one another? Do we allow each other to speak how we feel with one another and not get offended, but instead correct our ways? I often tell people, don't ask me to do something for you that you're not willing to do for yourself. And that includes loving yourself. Because I've been there where I didn't love myself enough to love me. But I was asking somebody else to love me. So I was asking them to give me something I couldn't even give myself. Please be reminded that your ships, they can take you down. Or they can build you. But it's up to you how you do it. And if you're really willing to look at, because see, I got some 20-year friendships that on this journey, God said, they must go. And it hurt like hell. And I say it hurt like hell. But I had to let go without any questions because God said so. And when I asked, I know that my answers will come in due time. But I trust him. I know that the same God that I call amazing is the same one that sits with me in my problems, that sits with me when I need to make decisions. That is, he is the same God that is my father, and my father will always want what's best for me. So excuse me if this episode was a little emotional, a little too sad on friendships and the waiting room, but this is where I am. And sometimes God has you in an uncomfortable place and you don't know what's next on purpose. Because you need to be in that place. You need to be waiting for the directive. Because waiting is going to help you birth an obedience that cannot be shifted. Understand that your yes is survival in this season. Your yes to your purpose. Your yes to your calling. Your yes to your success. Your yes to your happiness. Your yes to you fulfilling your dreams. Your yes to your goals. It's attached to that yes in obedience to God. And I'm not ashamed to say, yes, sometimes I'm disobedient. But even in my disobedience, I am okay when God corrects my behavior because I've earned it and I know that, so I own it. I encourage you today, look in the mirror, correct yourself, find out who you are aligned with, if the ships in your life are evenly yoked or if they are dragging you down with the ship. Find out about it. Find out if you turned assignments, temporary assignments, into permanent situations in your life. You can't be the fixer if you can't fix you. You can't help nobody else if you can't help you. So I encourage you today, look at your ships while you're sitting in the waiting room waiting on God to tell you what's next. Find out if you're in the right company. Because I'm going to tell you something. When you sit at the right table, somebody will be elevating you so highly, you'll look up and be at a place you didn't even realize. Because God will put you on their heart to a capacity that they'll put you on somebody else's heart. And that person's going to come through with something you never even imagined and attach you to something that completes your goals. But you got to do the work. You got to look at your ships. Are the people around you praying for you? Are they pouring into you? Are they doing the same positive things as you? Or are they getting your energy and running off, doing their own thing, losing that, and when it's run out, they come back and get more? I keep reminding people every day, do not allow people to let you be their spiritual dump. And by that I mean, don't just call me when you got a problem. Call me with some celebratory news as well. Call me to pray. Together, call to pray for me. See, oftentimes when my phone rings, I'm honest. I'm praying. I'm calling. I'm checking. I'm giving. But when I'm sitting on the other end of that, sometimes I'm like, God, why is there nobody here with me? Why am I not getting what I gave? Now, remind you, I'm a person that you can never do anything for me. You can never show up. You can never anything. But I'm going to tell you something. If God tells me to be there for you, I'm going to be there. Because that's what makes me different, unique, set apart. I'm not holding it against you that you're not there for me because I don't care. I just want you to be okay. But while I'm wanting you to be okay, when I'm going through, I'm asking God to bring the people in my life that provide the same support that I've given others who were either incapable or didn't even have the knowledge or didn't want to give it back. Look at what's going on around you. Does it fit where you're trying to go? Are you sitting in the room with people talking about stocks and bonds and LLCs and self-proprietors? Or are you sitting at the table with the people talking about only smoking, drinking, kicking it, partying, he said, she said? Pick your table. Pick your relationships, all your ships. Look at yourself and self-evaluation and stop accepting what doesn't fit the bar for where you're going. I love you. Thank you for tuning in to yet another episode of She Who Seeks to Inspire.